It's a great privilege to be here. Thanks for coming over a weekend like this. It's always a challenge. You wonder, are the people going to come? But it's awesome to see your commitment to serve God and to be part of what God is doing. I want to this morning go on where I left off about 2 weeks ago in the evening service. So please bear with me. A weekend like this is so awesome, just to see all around the country, all around the world, the cross of Jesus being displayed for all to see. Is that not why we live? Is that not the purpose of what God wants us to experience? Is Him being the presence and the purpose of our lives? So I want to speak about purpose this morning, and why do we live? Why do we have this life, and why are we part of what God wants to do on this earth? Let us just bow our heads. Father, we thank You this morning for just the awesome privilege of being here in Your presence, being part of Your kingdom. I want to ask You, Father God, that individually, as we are going to take communion this morning, that we will mean business with You, that each one of us individually will have an encounter with the Almighty God. Father, You are awesome, You're magnificent, You are greater than anything that we can serve on this earth. And we know that yet so many times we drift away. We drift to the things that we think bring gain into our lives. And yet, Father, we know that there's no material thing that can satisfy us. This morning we recognize that we are nothing without You. And we want to pray that You will come and just restore our heart's desire to see You being fulfilled in our lives. And as we, this morning, when we take communion, that we will mean business with You in such a way that we will get back onto track on that which You've called us to. In the name of Jesus. Amen. If you can turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. A well-known scripture that you would have read 1,000 times in your life, but it's such a beautiful scripture. 29 verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. A scripture that all of us know, but I must just quickly give you the context of this scripture. A scripture in the midst of the captivity of Israel at a time when they were really wondering, are they still God's chosen people? Do they still have the identity as the people of God? In the midst of Babylon, where they were scattered all over, their families were just taken apart, and they were wondering what God's purpose was still for their lives. A time when, you know, Israel was seeking and earnestly asking the questions to God, God, where are You in the midst of our captivity? And so, let's quickly go to chapter 29, verse 5 to 7. God giving them the answer, build houses and dwell in them, plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may be sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminish, and seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you shall have peace. God reminding His people that I still have the same thoughts about you. I still dream the same dreams about you, Israel. You are my people. I'm not forsaking you. And then He says, while being in captivity, I want you to understand why I've called you to a place like Babylon. A place where you will find contentment in me in such a way that you will be the light of the people that you are living among. You know, the things that God is expecting them to do is awesome things. Things that God says, let your children multiply. Make sure that you plant the vineyards that I've asked you to. But in the peace that you experience in the city, through you being there, I want these people to experience the blessing thereof. And you know what? This morning, I just want to say, God placed each one of us in Stellenbosch, in this nation, for a purpose. There's a reason why God is expecting us to find contentment in Him in everything that He's called us to do. And then comes the questions from Israel, you know, and from us when difficult circumstances arise, who am I? What is the purpose of my life? Why am I living? You know, if I would take a pencil and try to hit a hole in the wall, guess what's going to happen with a pencil? Okay, woo, are you awake? You will not be able to make a hole in the wall because it's not made for such purpose. And so many times we find ourselves in a place where we get hurt because we are doing the things that we've not been called to do. And then in the midst of our circumstances, asking these questions, it's necessary for us to find what God has in store for us. Because if we can focus on those things, we can experience the blessing of what we've been made to do. Let me just quickly read to you a few things about an article that I've read in Psychology Today, an article in the U.S. You can follow on the screen with me. The one who has the most toys when he dies wins. The amount of students motivating their studies by earning more toward a better lifestyle versus philosophy of an enriched life grew from 20% to 50% after 20 years. The deficit of able lifestyle versus expected lifestyle is funded by debt, which leads to pressure on relationships. Preschoolers are the fastest growing market for antidepressants. At least 4% of preschoolers, over a million, are clinically depressed. The rate of increase of depression among children is an astounding 23% per annum. 15% of the population of most developed countries suffers severe depression. 30% of women are depressed. Men's figures were previously thought to be half that of women, but new estimates are even higher. 50% of depressed people will commit suicide. Depression will be the second largest killer after heart disease by 2020, and studies show depression is a contributory factor to fatal coronary disease. Depression results in more absenteeism than almost any other physical disorder and costs employers more than $51 billion US dollars per year in absenteeism and loss of productivity, not including high medical and pharmaceutical bills. Studies are increasingly linking more illness to depression, including osteoporosis, diabetes, and so many other illnesses. And then the symptoms. If we can just quickly get it on the slide there. Okay, it's too small. But I just quickly want to say, symptoms in men, blames others, anger, irritability, ego inflation. And then in women, tendency to self-blame, feel sad, apathetic, and so many others. I'm not going to read all of them this morning. Henry David Thoreau said, most men live in quiet desperation. So in the midst of the society that we are living in and the circumstances that you and I are confronted with every day, there's a desperation in a captivity that you and I found ourselves in that confronts us with the same questions. Is it not true? Who am I? What is the purpose of my life? What is God's purpose for me to live here on earth? Now, I quickly want to mention three things this morning. about that question. The first one is, whose kingdom are we serving? You know, we've been at the gala here at Stellenbosch Primary a few months ago, and I remember me and my wife sitting there watching the girls swimming, and this one girl, she was just going off swimming freestyle, and she was about half of the length of the swimming pool in front of the rest to realize when she got to the other side that it was breaststroke. And, you know, just to see the sadness on her face, being prepared and ready and, you know, going all for it, didn't look to the right or to the left, but getting to the other side, the confrontation of, listen, there's some rules within what we are swimming, and there's people determining what we should do at what time. And when I get to the other side, the winner will be the one that keeps to the rules and being within the rules in front. And I want to just say to you this morning, success in life is determined by somebody. If we want to be successful in life, we cannot answer that question before we don't answer who is in control of determining what success is. Are you with me? You know, I watch the idols so many times. I like sitting with my girls, and I think we would look at the idols when they have these auditions. Always to be so sad when you see the judges, you know, the way in which they handle certain situations. Because you watch the person and you think, this person actually has such a talent. This person actually, if she gets another chance, she would get it right. But because of the judgment and the rules being determined by what success is, she will not be successful in this competition. So you see many successful people, even being part of the competition and going to the auditions, being successful in, you know, singing all over the world. But when they get to the auditions, there's a panel of judges deciding what is success. And that determines how far they will go, is it not so? At least to 3/4 of the competition. Then the public will decide. But you know what? When it gets to life, we need to ask ourselves, who determines success in life? Because so many of us are focused in fulfilling a life's calling that is determined by what the world's standard of success is. Are you with me this morning? And when we focus on what the world wants us to portray as being successful, we will always turn our goals toward those attributes. And this morning I want to tell you, God wants us to understand that if we want to be successful in the life that He's calling us to do, we must know what the attributes is of His kingdom. Why He has called us as His people. Listen to this scripture, Matthew 6, verse 31 to 33. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Oh, I love the cross of Jesus. I love knowing what His will is for my life. Can I just read this? The kingdom of God is an invisible kingdom, but the will of God is the visible that we live for temporarily. Can I just repeat this? The kingdom of God is an invisible kingdom, but the will of God is the visible that we live for temporarily. Our eternal call is to find contentment in Him. Our earthly call is to glorify His name on earth. Can I just read it again? Are you with me this morning? Our eternal call is to find contentment in Him. Our earthly call is to glorify His name on earth. Where we spend eternity is determined by what we do with the cross of Jesus and His saving grace. But how we will live for eternity in His kingdom is determined by the way we lived here as believers. You and I get the chance here on earth to make the decision where we are going to spend eternity. Is that not true? By the saving grace of God, we can make a choice and saying, listen, Jesus, I want you being part of my life. I know that you are the only way, the truth, and the life. And in making such a decision, you and I determine where we are going to spend eternity. Is it not so? Heaven or hell? But how we will spend that eternity is determined by the way that we live here on earth. Is that a challenge to us this morning? Do you know that the sole purpose why you and I are living on this earth is the fact that God wants us to glorify Him, that we've been made to glorify His greatness. I want to ask you this question this morning, you know, are your life glorifying God? Are your life of such essence that you can say that it directs everything to God, the Almighty Father? Because if we find ourselves in the midst of the purpose of life, we must first get to the place of understanding that we've been made to worship God. In eternity, the only thing that we will do is saying, glory, glory, glory to God. If you cannot find yourself in the place where in the midst of your circumstances, at your workplace, in your family life, wherever you go, that you can say that, God, I want to glorify you, you've missed the first step of the calling that God has called you to. Because the second part is the one where you understand exactly what the will of God is for your life. And therefore, stewardship for you and I mean that we are using all that we have to stay in the will of God. The world focuses on using the least amount of resources to do the most effective job. Christians should use all its available resources to do the most effective application to do exactly what God wants, even if it does not make sense financially. Otherwise, the servant that buried the talents was not that wrong after all. Listen to this. Some men desire greatness by feeding their ambition. Others find it by obeying God. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 12 to 15. Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. So can I just, this morning, say that in eternity, the things without eternal value will not stand. And the things that God has called us to, that has eternal value, will stand into eternity, and you and I will live according to how obedient we were to those things. Listen to Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1 to 2. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me? And what is the place of my rest? All these things my hand has made. And so all these things came to me, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. John 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do. Okay, are you awake? Aside from being grafted into the vine, Jesus Christ and his will for our lives, we amount to nothing. For apart from me, you can do nothing. There's one king that determines the rules of the success in life. It's the one that made us. If you use the pencil to write, it will do a fine job because it's used for its purpose. The one that made me and you knows exactly why and how he has made us to function. If we move out of that place, we get hurt in life. Let me just quickly read this part. Our primary calling is to be in a personal relationship with God. Our primary calling is to travel through life with God, living each day as called people. We live our calling as we walk with God. The closer we walk with God, the more we understand God's agenda for humanity and our part in it. God calls us to various tasks and life roles, such as parent, spouse, family member, worker, friend, neighbor. These are all our secondary callings. Secondary callings matter, but only because primary calling matters most. Secondary callings matter, but only because primary calling matters most. In order to find out what your secondary calling is, you must walk with God. I see so many books being written. I see so many people making calling to be more than it's supposed to be. Your calling is only special if you know the context of the one that's giving you the calling. We sometimes are so fixed on the awesome things that God has called us to do, and we are going to fulfill this great thing for God, and yet God wants us to experience a personal relationship with him. And I want to just mention a few things this morning. How do we get to that place where you and I will know the will of God, where we will find our callings? And the first one I want to mention is the burning bush, Exodus 3, verse 4. Moses, and he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. There must be moments in your life when you encounter God in such a way that you know that he's speaking right into your life. I remember years ago sitting under the fig tree there in Potchefstroom at Anton and Christelle's house. It was a difficult time of my life. I've been then in Worcester congregation and asking God some questions. That place where Israel was at, the place where you know that God, there's a desperation in my heart. I'm asking you, why am I here? What is the purpose of my life? And it was so beautiful when God spoke to me and he said to me, you know what? I want you to pack up your things and go to Stellenbosch and go and support Pastor Fred. I immediately responded by being obedient to what God has called me to. You know why? Because I don't want to be out of the will of God. can I tell you that through the years, that word was tested a lot. There was difficult times going through through living out the promises of God. But because God spoke to me, I had a reference and a boldness to do exactly what God wanted me to do. I want to say to you this morning, if you did not have burning bush experiences in your life before, it's time to go to God and ask Him to speak into your life. It's a desperation.